Affordable housing is a basic human right, and to build a better Kentucky where all our people can thrive, safe and reliable housing is absolutely essential.
I wanted to be better and meet those goals, and it wouldn't have been possible without Kentucky housing.
Knowing that I had a roof over my head, food to eat, knowing that I didn't have to want for anything, that's a big plus.
Being a single parent and not having to worry about, housing, paying bills while, being in school.
But I am here to tell you that there is a lot of beauty in this part of the county.
Bringing it home with KHC.
Welcome back to another edition of Bringing It Home with KHC. This is the third and final episode in our series on permanent supportive housing. In this episode, we speak with Julie Wisher, the executive director of Elevate, formerly the Sandifer Center in Henderson, Kentucky. A few years ago, when they were planning what is now Elevate Estates, the team at Elevate, along with Equal Development, attended the Supportive Housing Institute, which is run by the Corporation for Supportive Housing and Leah Warner from the first episode in this series. First of all, Julie, thank you for joining us. Would you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about Elevate?
I'm Julie Wisher. I'm the executive director of Elevate, Western Kentucky. We used to be the Hugh Edwards Sandifer Training Center. Since 1967, we have provided opportunities to learn and work for individuals with disabilities. We offer supported employment services through the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. We offer day training services for individuals on home and community-based waiver. We also take people that aren't on waiver because there's a waiting list in Kentucky for that, and have a modest private pay. We focus on community engagement, work-ready learning, life skills, and it's where someone with a disability can come and never hear the word can't, but focus on the word can.
As you know, Julie, this series we're doing is about permanent supportive housing, and we're looking specifically at organizations that went through the Supportive Housing Institute run by the Corporation for Supportive Housing. Can you take us back to the beginning and tell us how and why Elevate decided to pursue a permanent supportive housing project in Henderson?
Originally, we looked into what would be called traditional residential programs through Medicaid and their long-term waiver supports. But we really didn't like how those operated. There's not a lot of choice. I mean, they're great for a lot of individuals, but the people we serve are on a journey to be work ready, and they want to work out in the community, and they want to have as much independence as possible. And so we kind of looked throughout the country at different residential models that served individuals with disabilities, and called developer after developer and asked if they were interested in this idea, and ended up finding Equal Development, Bill Hollingsworth, because he had just built a senior apartment here in Henderson. And I called him and told him what we wanted to do, and he said, I've never done that before, but I'll be willing to work with you. And he actually found the training and said, hey, let's go to this. And we serve people that have been homeless, but that was never one of our focuses. Our focus was individuals with disabilities, regardless of where you come from. And usually by the time we begin to serve someone, they've already found housing and supportive services, case management, if you will. So this was kind of a new adventure altogether for us. We kind of jumped in and kind of felt like we didn't belong in the beginning, but realized that what it ended up being was an opportunity for us to look inward at our mission and realize that there was a whole group of people that we had the ability to serve that we never noticed. We just never looked for them. And that is those with disabilities that struggle with homelessness and and are at risk for homelessness, and how that fits into our mission.
Can you describe the Institute and how the training shaped what became Elevate Estates?
We met once a month all day in Lexington with, there were four nonprofits that that were there along with their developer. We started in February of 23 and went through July, and we were introduced to permanent supportive housing, what that is and what that means, and introduced to some statistics about our community. And then really they walked through, and we had homework. We walked through how to create this program in our community, who you need at the table, how to build your service plan to go with your construction. Doesn't matter if you have an apartment community, if you don't have a solid service program to support those individuals living there. And then they walked us through the application process. And for an organization that has never done this before, never really looked at Kentucky Housing, never really thought that they aligned with us, that was a huge help to make sure that we were thinking of everything we needed to think of, and that we, you know, brought the right people to the table throughout the process, how we defined what we were doing and how we communicated that to our local government, the neighborhood in which we were going to build, and the community at large, how to get them to invest in it through advocacy and support. And then, I mean, they're still working with us. They followed us through the technical process of the application and building the service plan budget and what it entailed. And they've been here to Henderson to train our staff and the staff of a lot of our nonprofit service organizations in Henderson that will be our partners on this journey, and kind of make sure that we walk into this with every tool we need to make it successful. You know, we were with three other nonprofits, and all of them had either shelter or housing at the core of their mission. And we have never done that before, but we had people, you know, we want to serve people, but we never had to house them. And at the beginning I said, this is going to take me a minute because this is very different than what the dream I had in my head. It's not bad or better. It's just different. So just be patient with me. Let me figure this puzzle out. And they allowed you to, you know, ask questions, and they were very comfortable having uncomfortable conversations about the types of people that are served. One of the big hurdles in my mind was individuals with substance use disorder. That is a disability. But when you put a bunch of people in a housing community, and the individuals that I currently serve with intellectual disabilities are very vulnerable, and you kind of want to wrap your arms around them and protect them. And I said, I have a lot of personal bias. I have a lot of drug addiction in my family. So please bear with me. I cannot see these two fitting together. And it took about 4 months of training, those one-day trainings, when it hit me, that those individuals that struggle with homelessness and chronic homelessness because of a disability, whether it be mental health, substance use, or what have you, the reason I don't serve them already is more than likely because they don't have a natural support structure that's going to get them the services they need. And if the people I currently serve didn't have the people in their life to do that, they would be exactly where those individuals are, struggling with homelessness. And that's when I realized that this fit our mission more than I ever thought. This training really opened our eyes to the number of people that we have the ability to serve that we were never reaching out to. They just never showed up on our radar, and how we could have a stronger and larger impact in our own community. So we spent that training not only building this project, but really coming to terms with what our mission is, what that really means, because we didn't want to change who we were in order to get funding for something. But in the end, we have a program that that will be able to serve any who need it in this community because of their disability. And we won't have to, you know, worry about what that disability is, because that doesn't matter.
I was at the groundbreaking for Elevate Estates back in February, but for those who weren't there and maybe haven't heard about this project before, could you describe what Elevate Estates is or what it will be?
We're building 48 apartments here in Henderson, 32 one-bedrooms and 16 two-bedrooms, and 10 are set aside for individuals with intellectual disabilities. The other 38 apartments will be filled utilizing coordinated entry, which is very new to us, and will be for those that are at the greatest risk of homelessness or have experienced chronic or sporadic homelessness because of their disability.
And what supportive services will the residents of Elevate receive on site?
The interesting thing about permanent supportive housing is before you give them a list of things that they need to work on, you make sure they're housed. And so then they don't have to worry about that. So the services provided will be offered, but they're not required. We will offer case management, life skills courses, work-ready learning. We have begun partnerships with River Valley Behavioral Health, which is the community mental health center in our area, to provide evaluations for mental health or long-term or chronic disability to see what services they qualify for. Behavioral supports, Deaconess Crosspoint Behavioral Health is on board. Deaconess is the regional health system in our area. We also have a federally qualified health center that will provide acute medical care and long-term traditional health care for those who need it. We are a United Way agency, which will help connect us to other services. We will help them get on Medicaid if they qualify for Medicaid, Social Security disability. We will do that at Elevate. If they want to find a job, we offer supported employment services where we work on job development, resume building, interviewing skills, and then we work with local employers throughout an individual's career to help support them and that employer so that a relationship is successful long-term. Transportation, they'll be able to, we'll be on the city bus path, but our city buses and our medical Medicaid buses don't run after 6 or on holidays or on Sundays. And so we will supplement that transportation for anything from a doctor's appointment to somebody who might find a job working second shift and need a ride home at 11 o'clock to they want to go to the grocery, or they want to go downtown for the WC Handy Blues Festival. So it will promote social engagement, community connection, traditional health care, mental health care. And if there is an addiction that they struggle with, we have multiple addiction service providers. We've pretty much gotten everybody on board for that.
It certainly sounds like there's been a lot of support and a lot of collaboration around this project. What has been the overall response from the community about Elevate Estates? And have you received any pushback?
Henderson has seen a lot of growth in the recent past. We've had some large industry move in. We're a vital part of the I-69 Ohio River crossing. It's coming right through the middle of our county. And so we've seen a lot of good news, but when I had to speak in front of the county magistrates and county judge executive, and I spoke in front of the city commission while we were applying for these funds and talked about the permanent supportive housing side of this and the impact on homelessness. And the first thing out of our community leaders' mouths was that homelessness is a real issue. And so I think that has always been top of mind, but having, pardon the pun, but a concrete plan and building something and putting infrastructure in place to help with that issue has been a very positive thing. And 20-something years ago, I was the director of Habitat for Humanity here in Henderson, and that's where I learned about NIMBY, or Not in My Backyard. And I was really afraid I would get a lot of that. And no one, not one person. Like, it blows my mind to this day. But I do get phone calls from mothers and fathers or sisters or cousins of individuals who struggle, who are living above the garage somewhere, and they're afraid of what's going to happen to them when they die. A son with an acquired brain injury, or a cousin with a cyclical drug addiction, mental health issue, or somebody's, you know, sister or brother who have to move in with them when their parents can no longer care for them because of their disability. So it has awakened the support for those who are homeless, those with mental health diagnoses, those with substance use diagnoses, but it has also created a source of hope for people that have quietly worried for years about what will happen to a vulnerable family member. That was another shock. The number of phone calls I get from all over the region, as far as like Indianapolis, Indiana, I read about your project and I just want to know how this works. Some of them want to do it in their own community. Someone asked if they needed to move here so that their person could qualify. And I was like, we haven't even built it yet. That was another eye opener. The number of people I've known for years as colleagues that have called with a relative that lives within their household or on their property that they're worried for when they're no longer able to care for them, which makes you wonder how many more individuals are suffering in the shadows, and can this shine a light on that population that will always struggle with living on their own? And if not for that family member, they would struggle with homelessness.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Bringing It Home with KHC. If you would like to hear more about Kentucky Housing Corporation, you can visit kyhousing.org. Thank you, and we will see you next time.